Tomorrow morning,
after the morning prayer,
with the hope of you, look into the book of Matthew and write down all the Christological titles. You categorize from different titles and try to explain each title, what is the meaning, but briefly describe the meaning. And the purpose of this this assignment is just give you a reason to read the book of Matthew. Okay, and there's another assignment due Wednesday after the morning prayer, another assignment due. From the book of John, try to list out everything related to true or truth. True or truth. Don't copy from the encyclopedia, I don't need that. You look into the book of John, and from first chapter to the last chapter, anything related to truth, you write down and try to categorize whatever you get into different kind of category and try to explain. That will be due on Wednesday morning after the morning prayer. Also, another one, tomorrow morning after the morning prayer, study the John chapter 1 and write down how many terminology did John use to describe Jesus Christ. How many terminology did John use to describe Jesus Christ? Briefly, try to write down what is the meaning. I calculate how. That's John, You have to briefly describe the meaning, At least 12, John chapter 1, at least 12 terminology was used, to describe Jesus Christ. Try. So that will be keep you busy for a while. So after you finish the book of reading, you come up with the conclusion of truth, and you already complete the reading of John. Okay. And the first public sermon delivered by Jesus Christ was recorded in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. So I would like to spend a little bit of time to discuss with you the Sermon on the Mount. The whole book of Matthew is talking about the kingdom of God. The whole book of Matthew talking about the kingdom of God. Because the first message proclaimed by Jesus is the kingdom of God is at hand. And John was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he also proclaimed the same message, the kingdom of God is at hand. So when Jesus came to the world, it was the realization of God's kingdom. And he delivered the first sermon in public from chapter 5 chapter to chapter 7. So we consider this as a Sermon on the Mount. And some people give a title to this sermon called "It's a Constitution of the Kingdom of God." So if you can practice the Sermon on Mount in chapter 5 to chapter 7, then your life will be like in heaven. If your life has any trouble, then you can find out part of the teaching in these three chapters was not practiced. So that's the reason the life has some kind of trouble. Let me start from a question. When you think about blessing, What come up first in your mind? God has abundant blessing. When you think about blessing, what come up in your mind? When you think about blessing of God, what is the first, what is your first thought in your mind? That's too abstract. Be more concrete. When you think about blessing, what come up in your mind? Good health? Peace, joy? Family? Okay. Great love of God, health, money, knowledge, job, and all. Okay. In the Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 12, commonly being considered as beatitude, 8 different kind of blessing. So when Jesus gave the first public sermon, the first thing he mentioned about is blessing. So you come to the church to receive blessing. You are not come to the church to be tied up by a lot of regulation and law. No. You are coming to the church to receive blessing. John chapter 1 mentioned about the words become the flesh, full of grace and what? The word become flesh and came to the world full of grace and truth. Law came from Moses, and grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ bring down the grace from heaven into the world. So we believe in Jesus. Why? Because we want to receive blessing. You have to change more positive attitude. So some of the truth seekers come to the church, study for the truth for a period of time. They don't want to be baptized. Why? Because they thought once I baptized, I lose freedom. I will be confined to a lot of regulation in the church. I think they missed the point. This kind of truth seeker missed the point. Why you want to believe in Jesus? Because you want to receive blessing. That's the reason you believe in Jesus. After you go into the salvation of Jesus, even the words of God, you feel that is a way to set you free. That is not to bound you. That is a way to set you free. Okay. So chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 12, 8 different kind of blessing. And if we carefully examine these 8 different kind of blessing, almost all the blessing is referring to something inside your heart. Because your heart will decide whether your life is happy or not. Your life is good or not. A lot of people, they have something materially outside. But their heart, there's no blessing of God in their heart. So they don't have a feeling of happiness. So this is called beatitude. Who can recite the beatitude? Raise your hand. Who can recite beatitude? Raise your hand. Don't be humble. You want to imitate Jesus? Who can recite beatitude? There are a few chapters in the Bible considered as a gold chapter or gold verses. You need to recite it. Right? Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a very beautiful psalm. Right? And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul mentioned about what is love. This is a very beautiful verses. And of course, Lord's Prayer, you can recite it. And Beatitude is one of them. 8 different kind of blessing. Okay. Can I add up one of the homework to you? I think this is supposed you can recite it when you are in the junior high or junior senior class, right? Try. The first blessing coming from poor in spirit. You can refer to the teaching material. Page 7. A, the beatitude. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Verse 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. If anyone wants to receive the kingdom of heaven, the precondition is he must the person poor in spirit. Can anybody explain what is the meaning of poor in spirit? What is the meaning of poor in spirit? Humble. Yes, humble. It means the poor in spirit. It's easier for you to receive the kingdom of heaven. How come? Poor in spirit is easier for you to receive the kingdom of heaven. We mentioned yesterday, right? Jesus said, for those who are like a child, the kingdom of God will reveal to him. But for those who feel smart, outstanding about themselves, the kingdom of God will be hidden to them. The poor in spirit means in your heart you feel you know nothing. You feel empty, and you feel very humble, and that is the beginning of receiving the kingdom of heaven. Can you give example who is poor in spirit and who inherits the kingdom of God? Who is poor in spirit and eventually inherit the kingdom of God in the Bible? Nazareth. Yes, he is so poor. So, he is so poor. So he has no condition to be proud. Can you see anybody who has a condition to be proud, however he is poor in spirit? Paul? Paul is a very special case. Christ? Yeah, beside Christ. And 2 days later, we are going to study the book of Acts. At least you can find one from the book of Acts. Poor in spirit, but he has excellent condition in the world. Okay. The woman of Samaria, right? He come to ask for the grace from Jesus. And Jesus said, it's no good to give the bread to the dog. From the book of Acts, can you find anybody who is poor in spirit? Stephen? Cornelius? Well, you keep on guessing, at least you will guess, you'll get the answer. The book of Acts, poor in spirit. Eunuch, from Ethiopia, right? The eunuch from Ethiopia. He was the secretary of treasure, in control of the treasure, right? So I think he considered a person who had a position. And well, now he was poor in spirit. How do we know he was poor in spirit? For help about what? Okay. Yes. He went to Jerusalem, right? To seek after truth. On the way back, and he was reading the book of, which one? Revelation, right? The eunuch in Ethiopia was reading the book of Revelation. Is that right or wrong? No, right? Well, which book was he writing? Isaiah. Reading the book of Isaiah, right? Writing in the chariot, he's jumping up and down, left and right. And the person still wants to read the book. You see how eager, how thirsty he was to pursue after the words of God. Poor in spirit. When a person is very hungry, you give him the water, keep on drinking, right? Water is good enough. But if a person is live a very luxurious life, water is not enough. It must be juice. Even you give him a juice, this juice is no good. It's certain brand of the juice. If you are poor, water is good enough. So he read the book of Isaiah. When you are in the airplane, while you are in the airport, what book do you read? I know a lot of young kids, they purchase from the airport, at bookstore, all the fashion book, different kind of model, movie star or model, different kind of model, and different picture, right? Poor in spirit, you are thirsty about words of God, read more about the Bible. Okay, the second thing, there was a preacher moved by the Holy Spirit to approach him. Who was the preacher? And ask him, do you know what you are reading? Who was the preacher? Are you sure, Philip? Yeah. Philip. Yeah. And the eunuch in Ethiopia answered, nobody teach me, how can I understand? Nowadays, if a person have position, they will never have this kind of answer. Nobody teach me, how can I understand? This is a way to show a poor in spirit. Philip explained the teaching of the Bible to him, and he understood, and he saw there was a lot of water, and they stopped and baptized Philip, the eunuch. And after the baptism, where did Philip go? How did God bring him back? The Holy Spirit lift him up and go to somewhere. It's far faster than you take a Boeing 747. At that time, God worked mightily. So this is the example of poor in spirit, thirsty about the words of God, so they receive the kingdom of heaven. So this is the first one. So if a truth seeker come to the church, you see the truth seeker is very humble and very thirsty about the words of God. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. And some of the truth seeker, they feel they are very knowledgeable, they are very capable, and their ration is very high, and then most often very difficult for them to receive anything or experience anything. So the first condition to receive blessing, blessing we will receive is the kingdom of heaven. And how come kingdom of heaven is a blessing? How come kingdom of God is a blessing? Of course, the kingdom of heaven has the blessing of this life and the life to come. Inside the kingdom of heaven, there is eternal life, the life of heaven in the future. Inside the kingdom of God, according to Romans chapter 14, they will have righteousness, peace, and the joy in Holy Spirit. So if a person cannot be bounded by sin, free from sin, and very peaceful, and have a joy, and that kind of life is a life like heaven. And how can you have that kind of life? You must be poor in spirit. And Jesus said, it's very difficult for the rich man to go into the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus say so? is rich, a sin? Does Jesus consider richness as kind of sin? Of course not. The Joseph Arimathea was a very rich person, but he was a very good disciple of Jesus, because he was poor in spirit. So if you have too much knowledge, too much money, too high position, even your body is too strong, you are too beautiful, a lot of things which you have and other people don't have, that always will become a reason you become proud. Once you're proud, it's very difficult to enter the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit. Now this is first blessing. The second blessing. What is the second blessing? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's very difficult to understand. To be a Christian, we are supposed to be joyful. And how come Bible say, blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn is a blessing. Why? Why did the Bible say so? Grief, mourn, another word is grief, right? Can you find the answer from the 2 Corinthians? I'm talking about there are two kinds of mourn, two kinds of grief in our life. Second Corinthians. For even if I met you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle met you sorry, though only for a while. Which chapter? Which verse? 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. And verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led you to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow produce repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produce death. So according to verse 10, there are two kinds of sorrow, right? There are two kinds of grief. What are the two kinds of grief? One is a godly sorrow. The other one is the sorrow of the world. What is the sorrow of the world? You look into other people drive fancy car, right? And you drive the second-hand car, you feel very sorrow, you grief. How come my father is so poor? Otherwise I can have a Porsche. That kind of sorrow is no good at all. Produce that. Spiritually, you are going to die. Any other sorrow? Worldly sorrow? A lot. If you try to compare your living standard with others, you feel sorrow about yourself. And that kind of sorrow will produce that. You look into the mirror, how come I look not so good? Other people look so good. You feel sorrow. That sorrow can never produce righteousness of God. It's no use. This is the sorrow of the world. But the godly sorrow, what does that mean, godly sorrow? If you read the 1 Corinthians, you know that in the church of Corinth, the church has been plagued by a lot of problems. There's a division in the church. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollo, is the first one. The second one, the church member married the stepmother, right? In the 1 Corinthians, they married stepmother. The third one, they eat the food, worshiping the idol. The fourth one, they have a lot of gift, but the gift caused confusion in the church. Everybody can speak in tongue to edify the church, and there is no order, there is no control. Everybody stood and speak in tongue. The church become chaotic. So different kind of problem that happened in the church of Corinth. And Paul writes a very stern letter to warn them. Now, if you don't want to repent, when I come, I'm to bring the punishment of God. So they read the letter of Paul, and the Holy Spirit moved them, and they feel sorry about their own sin, and they start to repent. So that is called the godly sorry. And this godly sorry is good, will produce repentance, and eventually will make a person to pursue spiritual progress. So if you see a brother sit in the temple and looks very sad, it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. You know, you approach your brother and ask, and the brother tell you, if the sorry is a worldly sorry, that's too bad. If this brother is a godly sorry, thank God, because there is hope. So the second blessing, blessed are those who mourn. And how come this becomes the second blessing? Because once you have the poor in spirit, your heart is empty. You feel you are very thirst about the words of God. And you listen to the words of God, and the words of God just like a knife cut into the deepest part of your heart. And reveal your own sin. From our sin, from the sin of your speech, from the sin buried the bottom of your heart. And you feel you are so dirty, you are so filthy, you are so bad. And you produce more. Pursue sorry about yourself, then you are going to into the second blessing. For they shall be comforted. Who is going to comfort them? It's God who is going to comfort them. How can God comfort them? Because of their grief and repentance and pursuing after God. God is going to come back to this person and dwell in this person's heart, and the person will be comforted again. The example is David. Originally, David had very intimate relation with God. He enjoyed that kind of peace and joy. You can detect his experience about God in the book of Psalms. But after David committed serious sin, God departed from him. Yeah, he lose that kind of joy and peace. He feel very horrible. And Nathan confronted him, and he repented with a contrite spirit, and God forgive him, and David rejoice again. So that is the godly sorrow, the mourn, for they will be comforted. There was a brother, and later on was ordained as a deacon. One day the brother visited the Japan for his relative. While he was walking in the street, he purchased some kind of pornography picture and come back home. At that time, their brother, I think more than 50 years old, but still interested in this stuff. This brother prayed every day and was filled by the Holy Spirit, always sing the spiritual song, very joyful. But for a period of time, when he prayed, just feel nothing. Test this. No joy, just drink plain water. So he keep on fasting prayer, still feel nothing. One day he approached an elder and asked, what happened to me? The elder said, you have to examine, maybe you have something to repent. So in one of the Sabbath service, right after the sermon, when the preacher announced we are going to pray, he said, just a moment, I have something to say, please pray for me. He tell everything. I purchased a pornography picture, so when I pray, I cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit. Can you do that? I think a lot of us, we cannot do that, right? We care about our faith. Repentance don't care about faith. He come forward, everybody pray for me. And everybody pray for him. And the second day, morning, he got up and started to pray. He was filled by the Holy Spirit again and sing the spiritual song, very joyful. So the grief, the godly grief, the mourn, then you will be comforted. God is going to feel upon your heart again. You will be comforted. So if the end of NYTS, you feel you are not comforted, you still feel very sorrow. You are not comforted yet. Because what? You don't have godly sorrow. You don't have godly sorrow. So you will never be comforted. If you want to be comforted by God, in these few days. At least you have the one time have godly sorrows. But Lord, I have sinned. I sinned against you. I have a secret sin. I have hidden sin. Nobody knows it, but God, you know it. Forgive me. If you have that kind of sorrow, contrite spirit, and cry before God, God forgive your sin. His Holy Spirit will fill upon you, just like a living water gets out from your belly, then you will be comforted again. So the end of NYTS, if you are not comforted by God, if you are not filled by the joy of Jesus Christ, that's because, probably because you never have godly sorrow in these 14 days. Right now is the second day. In the past 2 days, did you have godly sorrow? Do you mourn about yourself? If you did, the comfort is coming in the next few days. If you don't, you have to think about it. Okay. Because the Bible says everybody has sinned. So everybody is supposed to be mourned in front of God. You don't have to tell the preacher, pastor, what kind of sin you commit. We are not the one who judge you. You have to tell Jesus Christ and feel sorry about yourself. Then you will be comforted. The third blessing, five. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Meek means the person who is very humble. The heart is very gentle. Very soft. Those who are proud, always their heart is hardened. For they will inherit the earth. The earth is not referring to the material land. When Abraham went into Canaan, God planned to give him a piece of land full of honey and milk. Did Abraham really inherit that piece of land? Yes or no? God promised Abraham, right? Depart from your homeland. I am going to give you a piece of land filled with honey and milk. Did Abraham really inherit that piece of land? Yes or no? No. When Abraham's wife died, he did not even have a piece of land to bury his wife. He had to use the money to purchase that piece of land. But when Abraham went into the Canaan, his faith was strengthened. So his faith was elevated. So he hoped another better home country, according to Hebrews chapter 11, a far better homeland, which was managed by God, which was controlled by God. Where is a far better homeland? Heavenly kingdom. So Abraham lived a life like a sojourner, like a guest. You come here, you are not going to live here forever, right? So your baggage is very light, all right? If you try to live here permanently, maybe you will carry 2-3 baggage here. Your stereo, your CD, your this and that, right? And since you come here as a guest, just a simple baggage. Abraham looked forward to the heavenly kingdom, far better than. So his life was very simple. He lived in tent, and life very simple. So today, how can we tell? You have a very strong hope to the kingdom of God. Look into your lifestyle. If your lifestyle is too complicated, that is an indication your hope to the heavenly kingdom is very vague. It's not clear. If your lifestyle is very simple, that means your hope to heavenly kingdom is very clear and very solid. So Abraham is the same. And eventually, he went into the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, how do you know Jesus, Abraham already went into the kingdom of God after he died? Did Abraham appear in the Mount of Transfiguration? How do you know Abraham already inherited the kingdom of God? The rich man in Nazareth, right? When the Nazareth died, where did Nazareth go? In the bosom of Abraham. So Abraham was not a bad person. In the kingdom of God, he is still alive. So he really inherited that piece of land. So blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. the spiritual piece of land means in the future, in heaven, in God's kingdom. But you must be meek. Your heart must be gentle. If your heart is hardened, it's very difficult. I heard a youth testify to me, and it's a 1980s, the first time his relative introduced the gospel to him. And one day, a pastor visit him and invite him to the church. He confessed that when he come to the church, when the pastor say one sentence, in his heart, he talked back two sentences. Oh, that's not this way. This is not that way. Oh, so his heart is hardened. Well, he listened the gospel for a few months, no result at all. Not until one day, when the pastor visited his home and prayed with him, and he received Holy Spirit. Once he received Holy Spirit, his heart became very gentle, very meek. And every message was touched. He was touched by the message, and eventually he received the baptism. A few years ago, there was a drought in Texas. Even the bed of the lake crack because lack of water. If you sow the seed into the ground, nothing is going to happen because that ground is so hard. But after heavy rain, and the ground becomes soft, you sow the seed and the seed will grow. The same thing with our people's heart. The heart is hardened. Our heart is hardened. So it's not easy for us to receive the spiritual blessing. For example, during the Holy Communion, last time I met a member from mainland China in Dallas. I'm very curious what the difference between the church in Dallas and United States. So I asked him, what's the difference between the church in Dallas and in United States and China? He told me 2 points. The first point, in China, the prayer is very powerful. Very powerful. Almost when the person is sick, they pray first time and second time, the sickness is cured. So he feels the prayer here is not powerful. The second thing he talked about is Holy Communion. He said in the mainland China, he lived in the middle part of mainland China, every time when they hold the Holy Communion, almost everybody cry, shed tears. And when we come to the United States, maybe we are more civilized. We swallow our tears into our stomach. He saw nobody cry. That's the difference. How come the love of Jesus so much and we were never been touched, even shed tears? Because our heart is hardened. Our heart is hardened. Until one day you are filled by the Holy Spirit, the spiritual water, water in your heart. Your heart becomes soft. At that time, when you hold a piece of the bread in your hand, the tears are already filled up in your two eyes. Your heart is soft. It's very easy for you to inherit the earth, the spiritual peace of land, the spiritual blessing. So those who are meek is a person who really receive blessing. So this is the third blessing. The four different kind of blessing. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, according to the first John, can refer to Jesus Christ himself. There is only one person who is righteous, Jesus Christ himself. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, for they shall be filled. Shall we turn to the book of Psalm chapter 42? Psalm chapter 42. Verse 1. As the deer pant for the water brook, So pen my soul for you, oh God. How beautiful the song, right? I remember Garden Grove Church choir member always sung this hymn, the Dio pen for the water, right? So we have to pen for God, longing for God himself. Not God's grace, but God himself. In your heart, you are thirst about God himself. God, I want to have you. I want you to fill my heart. And that kind of thirsty. If you have that kind of thirsty, you are much more blessed. You will be filled. When Jesus Christ comes to your heart, you will be filled. One day I was in Melbourne Church in Australia. There will come the true seeker sitting in the front where we are having the evangelical service. He listened attentively. His two eyes gaze in me, focus on me. When I look into a true seeker, I feel very nervous. Keep on looking at me. And after I preached for 20-some minutes, he looked at the watch. My past experience is, if the members start look at watch, that means too long already. Time to stop. But I just feel that I did not finish my sermon. How come he look at the watch? Well, after the sermon, I asked him, why did you continue to look at the watch? And the truth seeker tell me, I look at the watch, how come the time passed so fast? It's almost finished. I hope the sermon can continue. And that's the first time I heard a person look at watch and feel the time pass so fast. Most of people look at watch and feel, how come today the watch don't work? Right? In that prayer, that true seeker feel the power of God penetrate his whole body. He has been preaching for many times. And the first time he feel that God feel upon his heart. So happy. Last year I was told he was baptized together with his whole family. So when a person comes to the church, sometimes you can tell whether he can receive the blessing of God. If he's a person who hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, they will be filled. The same thing, not only the truth seeker, the church member. If you go to a church, you look into how the congregation listen to the sermon and how do they pray, then all of a sudden you can feel that whether this church can be filled by the blessing of God or not. Some of the church, when they pray in the beginning, very loud, but not 2 minutes later, just the airplane landing, finish. So those who are leading the sermon keep on praying aloud. Only one pray aloud, the one who preach. Everybody already landed on the ground. Finish. Less than 5 minutes. If your heart is not thirst about, not hungry, thirst about Jesus Christ, how can Jesus feel upon your heart? Jesus is not a homeless one. If you don't want him, he still want to come. No. You have to thirst about him and open your heart and cleanse up your heart, and he is going to come in to satisfy you. The second one is during the time of service. You look into the congregation. If they have the feedback, you can see there's a response. Then you know if they are thirst and hunger about the words of God, about Jesus himself. Sometimes we visit a church, and the member believe for a long time. You write the title, they already know what kind of verse you are going to quote. And you see the congregation, they are trying to fulfill some kind of routine. The time for service, Wednesday, let's come, let's go. And they already pre-programmed the TV, in which channel. I cannot come back, so I record the program. I keep on looking. Finish, I'm going back to see my recording. When they listen to the sermon, then their heart is not there. So if they are not meek, if they are not thirst, hunger and thirst about Jesus Christ, they can get nothing. So really, Jesus will reward those who are thirst and hunger for him. And this kind of thirst and hunger will really bring you the inner strength, inner peace. So it's a blessing. The next one, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. blessed are the merciful. Who will be merciful? The one who will be merciful is the one who has love. I always heard that a preacher told me, or tell other people, to love others is to love yourself. When I graduated from theological school, I followed this preacher for internship about 6 months. I always hear him tell people, to love others is to love yourself. In the beginning, I cannot understand. And gradually, I understand. Because a lot of people consider to love others is a sacrifice. When you take out the money, $10 out, you already lose $10. When you spend 1 hour for others, you already lose 1 hour. So the best way is don't take out the money for others. Don't spend time for others. Only spend for yourself. That's called selfish. And how come to love others is to love yourself? This is exactly what the Bible says. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will obtain mercy. They will obtain mercy come from two parts. The first part is come from the one you show mercy. They are going to show mercy to you when you are in need. Can you give an example from the Bible? Who show mercy and harvest mercy? Jonathan. Who was Jonathan? Okay. Who was the father of Jonathan? Saul, right? Saul tried to kill David. And chase David around. And Jonathan was a righteous person. He loved David. The father wanted to kill David, and the son loved David. Okay. And Jonathan tried to find out whether the father wanted to kill David, and secretly told David, and David just ran away. And later on, David became a king. David tried to find out, how can I repay love to Jonathan? And later on, David found out there was one son of Jonathan. What's his name? Mephibosheth, right? He was crippled, because when he was running away, falling down and become crippled. So David invited the son of Jonathan to palace, and the whole life treat him very well. So when you show mercy to others, maybe in your whole life you don't need anybody to show mercy to you. But when your children have needs, God will move somebody to show mercy to them. This is the word of God. The second, you shall be you are shown mercy, the mercy from God. If you love others, show mercy to others, God is going to show mercy to you. So this is a blessing. So if you see a person who loves others very much, always sacrifice himself, always show mercy to others, he is the blessed person. If you see a person always love himself alone, that's the most pitiful person, because they will harvest no mercy from men from God. The next one, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How come see God is a blessing? How come see God is a blessing? That's the utmost blessing, right? Okay. Can you imagine what are you going to do when in the future when you go to heaven? What are you going to do? Some truth seekers say, we go to heaven, we have nothing to do. We say, we praise God. He say, we praise God all day long, they will be bored. We try to use our experience in the world, try to think about something spiritual. But if something spiritual is different from the world. According to 1 John chapter 2, when Jesus appears, we will be like him and we will see him. We will be like him. He will be transformed into a spiritual body. And you will see him, see his real body. You will see who is God. So you can totally understand what is God. So Jesus, in a very short moment, transfiguration, in the Mount of Transfiguration, on the top of mountain, there was nothing. Right? On top of mountain, nothing. But when Peter looked at the transfiguration of Jesus, what was Peter's reaction? How wonderful us to be here. Let us build three booths. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why Peter want to build three booths? Because he wants to live there forever. The same thing in the church. If you behold the glory of God, if you feel that God is so close to you, then the end of NYTS, you will feel, how come it is so short? I want to live here longer. That spirit, NYTS, is successful. But if before the end of NYTS, the last second day, last 3 days, you already packed your baggage, waiting. How come the last day is still 48 hours? That means you did not behold your Heavenly Father. You did not see His glory. So you don't feel how wonderful it is to be here. You only think how wonderful for me to go back home. So that's the difference. But thank God we have many, many times a successful NYTS. So I believe this NYTS will be successful too, because I see so many young people. You are so thirst about Jesus Christ, and then God will fulfill you. It is a blessing. We can see God. So almost everybody saw the vision during the prayer, or the soul being lifted up to heaven. Now, almost everyone did not want to come back. Have you heard any testimony? A person's spirit was lifted up by heaven, and they don't told the angel, it's good, but I still want to go back. I never heard about this. Almost everybody go to the heaven and say, oh no, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. The angel said, no, because you still have duty. You fulfill your duty, I'm going to bring you back. He said, no, I don't want to come back. All of a sudden, feel the soul falling down from the heaven and back into the body and resurrected. Because they still have duty to carry. So how wonderful it is to be in heaven, to see God, is beyond your imagination. You can never think about. It's so joyful, so terrified. And how can we have that kind of experience? Pure in heart. Pure means what? What does that mean, pure in heart? You remember that the disciple of Jesus did not wash the hand, right? And the Pharisees asked Jesus, how come your disciple did not wash hand? Did Jesus rebuke the disciple? How come you did not wash hand? Did Jesus do so? No, Jesus did not do so. So if you don't wash the hand before meal, Jesus will not rebuke you too. But if you can wash your hand, it's good for sanitary reasons. Not to preach Jesus. Okay. And Jesus tried to use that opportunity to teach them a lesson, because the Pharisees emphasized the outer cleanness. How did Jesus describe about Pharisees? They just like, what? Whitewashed tomb. What do you mean whitewashed tomb? In the United States, you see the graveyard. It's so beautiful. There's a flower and a tree, right? But if you dig inside, about 3-4 inches deeper, dead bone, right? Whitewashed tomb. Then the Pharisees, outwardly, they dress up a very religious clothes. They speak, use a religious terminology, and they act like a religious person. But inside your heart is hatred, and bitterness, jealousy, and adulterous thought. All the evil is inside. So no wonder the John the Baptist say, you, the viper, the children of viper. If today somebody call you the children of viper, all of a sudden, pick up, go back home. How come you call me the children of viper, right? And they really want to repent. Viper means a poison inside. So you see the snake coil in the roadside. You should not be too close. If you're too close, the snake don't bite you. If you step on the snake, definitely he's going to bite you. Right. So somebody just like a snake. The Pharisees just like a snake. You cannot be too close to them. If you're too close to them, they feel that you are going to attack them. They attack you first. And they will bite you and they will release some poison. It will be painful for your whole life. So when Jesus said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, means the heart is without filthy, without dirty, very pure, without evil inside. And you will see God. You are going to have a very strong experience about God's grace. We are going to finish very soon. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the son of God. The peacemaker means when two parties have something against each other. You try to make peace between them. In order to make peace, you must be the friend of this one, you must be the friend of that one. And you make peace with them. Then you are the person being blessed, for they shall be called the son of God. Very noble status, the son of God. So in the book of James, talking about the wisdom, there are two kinds of wisdom. The first is the wisdom is the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world cause strife, cause jealousy, and cause disharmony. The wisdom from above is peace and is unity. So if there is a church, chaotic, and all of a sudden two families move out, everything become calm. That two families have problem. If the church is very peaceful, right now two families move in and church become chaotic, these two families has problem. But on the other hand, if the church is very chaotic, two families move in, all of a sudden everything becomes settled. And these two families have spiritual wisdom. So we should be a peacemaker to make everybody peaceful. And how can we become a peacemaker? That's what we have to learn from the Bible. That has something to do with our words. The peacemaker. The last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted. So the last blessing is most important blessing and is the most difficult to obtain. Blessed are those who persecuted for the righteousness sake. What does it mean for righteousness sake? According to God's will. That's for the righteousness sake. If you do something, you go and steal, somebody chase you and use a cup to beat you. Blessed are those who persecuted. You have no blessing, because you harvest whatever you do. But if you preach the gospel, you distribute the fire, somebody hits you, blessed are you. You're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. So when a person lives in a very advanced age, and the person lives a very peaceful life and die in peace, yes, it is a blessing. But when a person lives in a very advanced age and still under persecution because of God's work, this person receives even far more blessing. So if you look into the disciple of Jesus Christ, how did Peter die? How did Peter die? Because of persecution. How did John die? Because of persecution. So almost the closest disciple to Jesus died because of persecution. So the most blessing, the greatest blessing is to suffer for God and to die for Him. So today, one day if you see a brother being persecuted and stoned to death, like Stephen, of course you feel very sorry, right? But thank God. He is much more blessed than I do. Because he suffered for the crown of for the sake of righteousness. So the blessing, the last blessing is try to change your concept value. What kind of person is the most valuable person? Is not the person who enjoyed the whole life. No. The most blessed person is the one who chooses to suffer. To suffer for God. Moses chose to suffer. The second 40 years, the third 40 years. Paul chose to suffer after he converted to Christ. So that is the reason they receive blessing. So nowadays, don't be occupied too much by American dream. Yes, it's a blessing you can have American dream. But eventually you will prove that vanity and vanity, everything is vanity. You follow the footstep of Solomon. If you choose the footstep of Paul, follow him. To endure suffering for God's work, for the sake of righteousness, blessed are you. For the crown of righteousness is waiting for you. So right now, it's for you to make decisions.